Jason Crazier, he's been good enough to join me and reminisce about it all. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you too, mate. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. How do you recall that Nagpur test?
Oh, mate, I've spoken about it so many times, and it's just such a difficult thing to remember clearly, I guess, for me. I just remember the emotions around it, you know, pre me actually playing, then obviously actually getting into the actual game itself, and then afterwards having that that moment of realization of what actually happened. You know, it was I know we lost the test match. I remember bowling a hell of a lot from one end and taking wickets, but you know, it was just for me, it was like a dream come true, really. You know, being on the tour, finally sort of getting picked in that last one. It all sort of happening all a bit of a rush. That's probably the reason why everything is a little bit blurry in my brain. But then that moment afterwards and realizing what it actually achieved, they're the things I remember, the emotion around it.
How often do people bring it up with you?
It comes up a bit. You know, obviously now I run a coaching business, Elite Cricket in Sydney. And so it'll be some of the parents or the kids that'll ask me, you know, so most holidays with our camps that I run, you'll have a kid ask the question, you know, that dad would have told them or mum would have told them about me and me being at the camp. So they'll always ask that question. So it's fairly regular in that sense. But to sit down, you know, at times I'll be say at a, you know, if I'm having dinner somewhere or having a beer at a pub, you'll have someone come up to me. That doesn't happen that much, but that's the time when I really, you know, obviously delve into it when I've got a bit of time with someone that may have actually watched it.
Are you the kind of ex-cricketer who thinks, oh, this is all right, I'll have a quick yak to this guy, or does it annoy you when people do that?
Oh, no, mate, it's brilliant. You know, it's something that, you know, in my mind, it's either I've given someone a bit of joy, because most of the time it's someone that was a fan and said, you know, I'd loved it and I remember watching you all those years ago. And so they'll have that moment, I can't believe, you know, I'm talking to you because you were the person that I watched on TV taking 12 wickets. So, mate, I love talking about it. I'll obviously never get sick of it, because it was such a special moment.
Yeah, it's a great attitude and outlook to have, I think. When you were bowling that first over and early on, before you take your first test wicket, Virender Sehwag decided to go after you and really attack you. How do you recall what was running through your mind at that point in time as to, oh, geez, I'm in the cauldron of test cricket right now and I'm bowling to Virender Sehwag, who's going after me?
Yeah, well, I guess you sort of put it really well there. It just sort of, it did feel like a cauldron. You know, once I got the ball in my hand, it was, you know, I'm on TV. I'm playing against my heroes, literally with my heroes. And it felt I was confident, just particularly being at the end of the tour. I'd bowled a lot in preparation. I was constantly in the nets and obviously trying to bowl to the captain all the time and the vice captain and see if they'd give me a crack. So I felt very, very prepared, but, you know, nothing can really prepare you for your test debut to be up against that batting lineup. So it was very, very daunting. And then obviously with Virender, he came out very, very hard, as he does, sort of doesn't really have, you know, any gears to a degree, sort of got top gear. So he just went really hard and put a lot of pressure on me early. But then there was just that conversation that after we took the first wicket, when Michael Clarke was speaking to DuPonting and pretty much just told him to back the spinner that he's got, because he was a bit unsure. I think I was three or four overs for 30 or something, because I'm just getting taken down. And I just then could sit back and say, okay, I know I'm going to get a few overs here. Let's just try and get into a rhythm and just bowl good cricket balls. You know, don't try and vary. Don't try too much. Bowl the thing that you got picked for, your big turning offy. Get it in there as much as you possibly can. Let's see what happens. And then that's sort of how it all unfolded from there.
We spoke about the cauldron. The Indian fandom and people who go over there and play in India speak about just how loud it is when you're out there on the ground. Do you have any memories of that in Nagpur?
Not really.
Yeah.
It wasn't a packed stadium. It was, I couldn't tell you how many were there. You'd probably be able to Google that, but there wasn't that many, but whoever was there was an Indian fan. I know that there was, I remember seeing a bunch of like an Australian tour group. So they were obviously trying to back us up, but that was a couple of small voices amongst, you know, thousands of others. So whenever there was a boundary, everything you could hear, obviously them cheer and they go off, you know, it's a bit different. They sort of yell and scream quite a bit. So it's a different type of noise to Australian crowds. So you could just feel that it was, you know, you were up against it, not only just the 11 players, but everyone in the stadium was obviously backing there. They're so, you know, so fanatical. So that's the thing I remember. It wasn't, I was hoping to be at a test match. I think Delhi may have been the test that might have had the biggest crowd, and that was that was pretty cool. But Nagpur wasn't the biggest, but enough there to make a bit of racket for you.
No doubt. The wicket of VVS Laxman in the second innings, that's the picture book one. That's the one that's often referred back to. In your words, how would you describe how that wicket played out from an off-spinner's point of view?
Well, I think I was watching it yesterday. I watch it daily. I've got a little link on my computer desktop just to watch it, just to remind me what I'd done. But look, it was one of those, you know, get into that stage of the test match. There was rough out there. So it's, as a finger spinner with that rough, you're just trying to get it around there somewhere. You're trying to hit the rough. You're trying to get it to miss the rough sometimes to create a little bit of variation of what you're doing. So I could just continue just to bowl pretty much a stock spinner and let natural variation take its course. And it caught the edge of it. So it's something that you plan in your head and that you're looking at, thinking, can I get that ball to spin back? Can I get it to bounce? It was more the thing that I was looking for, because that was one of the things that I did with the amount of overspin that I got. So I was hoping for something in close. Can I get that ball and hit the glove, similar to Rahul Dravid's wicket? I've just caught it and spun a lot. So it's something that you're planning for. I always call it a fluke, because in a way it sort of was. But it was, it's the dream ball for an off spinner. You know, Nathan Lyon's bowled a hell of a lot of those in his career now as well, but not as good as mine.
It was an outstanding delivery. Jason Crazier speaking to us here on Summer Grandstand. Just jumping back, before you were picked to go on the tour, it's one of those things, Jason, that we always have an Ashes tour bolter, and it feels like we always have a bolter for the Indian series. What do you recall of, I guess, the lead-up, being mentioned in dispatches and beginning to think, well, hang on, could I be going on this tour to India? And when you do finally find out that the selector calls you and says, look, pack your bags, you're going to India.
Yeah, for me, there was a little bit of chat around it, thinking that they wanted to take a finger spinner, because they finger spinners tend to have a different type of spin in India, I guess, probably because they don't have the amount of revs on as leggies do. I'm not sure what it is about finger spinners. But I was in India for the Australia A tour just prior, and I was playing in that with a range of other spinners. And Bo Casson was there, Bryce McGain was there. I think that was it. So it was three spinners on this A tour. Bo got injured, and then I think Bryce got injured. So I was supposed to be playing. I'm pretty sure I was in Hyderabad. So we're in Hyderabad about to play a game. And I think midway through the game or at the start of the game, I was back in the rooms and got a phone call on my hotel room from Jamie Cox. And he said, can you come and see me in my room? And I genuinely thought I'd done something wrong. So I started.
That's a guilty conscience by the sounds of things, Jason.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been caught.
Yep. So I had that feeling. So I sort of went, you know, took my time getting there and just trying to catch my breath. And then he just said, look, mate, you're going home because you'll be getting on another flight to go to India. You've been picked in the test series. So at that point, obviously, my mind blew, and I tried to be as sort of as calm as possible and said, thank you so much. Thanks for the news. And then got back to my room, and I literally put my head into my pillow in my bed and just screamed, just trying to get this excitement out of me. So genuinely, it was that night. I think I was on a flight. I went home back to Tassie. The next morning, I flew to Melbourne. They had to give me all my gear, you know, my suit and all my kit, all my whites. And then I was back in India literally 2 days later. So it was quite a busy little period, taking a lot of flights. And it was a long flight that time because we were flying over to Dubai. So I had a hell of a lot of time to try and compute what had just had happened. So that was a crazy build up.
That's a really cool story. The emotion and the outpouring of emotion when you find out that you're going to play for Australia or tour with Australia and have a chance at playing for Australia. Something most of us dream about but don't get the opportunity to actually live out. The 44 overs, 43.5 overs, what happens to your fingers, your hands, your body, even as a spinner, when you bowl that amount of overs in an innings?
You do get sore, absolutely, because I think people tend to think spinners are slower than quick bowlers, but the energy that we actually bowl the ball, like our bowling arm action, if we bowl seam up, with our wrist behind the ball, it's quite quick. So I think people don't understand the amount of energy, and it's the rotation. For me personally, I didn't have a great body, so I got sore quite a bit. I had a very stiff back, and not very flexible in certain areas. So my back would ache. I'd get really, I'd start cramping through my mid back because it just didn't rotate very well. And because of the way that our shoulder rotates as well, sort of up between my shoulder blades, I think they're called the rhomboids, they used to get extremely tight. So a lot of physio and trying to get rub downs to try and get that out. So definitely those areas get very sore, and the fingers as well. Your spinning finger can blister. Yeah. I didn't blister that tour, but it just gets very, very red and sore. And because I actually held the ball quite hard with my fingers, my knuckles, my first finger knuckle would get really, really sore. So I was about trying to look after those. Everyone had their different methods to deal with those. I used to try and keep my skin soft so it wouldn't blister or split. Some people, you mentioned just before on the phone, talking on the phone about bringing Fry's balsam, but I used to do something different. I used to put lanolin cream on my finger just to try and keep it soft and not get really dry, because then it would crack and split, peel, all that sort of stuff. So trying to look after your body as much as you could, because if you are going to bowl 45 overs as a spinner, you are going to get sore somewhere for sure.
Yeah, I obviously at a much lower level, but I used to have to use Fry's balsam on my spinning finger. It would sort of crack and get really sore if I bowled any number of overs. No one's more qualified to make this comment than you, Jason. I mean, a lot of people say, is it worth throwing a young spinner who has so much promise, like Todd Murphy, from the frying pan into the fire on test debut over in India? What would be your response to that?
I think if they've got the talent, and you can see that they really have the potential to be something extremely great, and then you can see that they will be able to play a role, I guess, as well, then I would say, why not? I got given that opportunity. I wasn't that young. I think I was 24. But if they've got the skill level and you can see it, and you can see that they're generally going to make a difference in that, and you can see there's a potential of them making a difference in a game, then I say, why not? Absolutely. We're looking for, sometimes you're looking for that diamond in the rough, and he's come out about from nowhere to a degree, but the reports and the raps that people have got on him, I've got no doubt that if he's patient and just sticks to what he does best, then he's going to have some amount of success, absolutely.
Our second last one, the Crazy Crazier moniker. Did you like it? Did you dislike it?
Oh, I didn't mind it. It was okay. It's it's always a term of endearment. I think when I was younger, I was quite crazy. It sort of came out a little bit later. I used to have a couple other nicknames that I can't talk about on radio prior to that. So it was nice to get away from those. I was a lot crazy when I was younger. And I sort of had to, I think once I met my wife, that's when everything started to settle down a little bit in my head. So I didn't really mind it at all, to be honest, just purely because it distracted everyone from the other ones.
What are you doing with yourself now?
Matt, I'm involved in cricket. I run my own business in Sydney called Elite Cricket. That does, private coaching. And as I said before, we run school holiday camps and everything, which has been pretty tough post-COVID. But we're rebuilding now, which is great. I'm a head coach of a great cricket club in Sydney, the Campbelltown Camden Ghosts. This is my first year with them this year. And I'm also, I coach at King's School as well, so do some work at the private school. And I'm also going to be working with the Highlands Cricket Academy down in Barrel at the Bradman Oval. Yeah, so there's some exciting things happening there, hopefully in a couple of years, got our fingers crossed. So that's been a great bit of fun, working sort of in the regional areas that don't get the access to, the coaches that are in the city. So, yeah, loving it.
It's great to hear that you're going well and you're giving back to young cricketers who are trying to make it and play at a high level. So I really appreciate your time and having a chat to us here on Summer Grandstand across Australia on the ABC. Thanks for your time.
No problems. Thanks so much.